Krishna. Okay, we can hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay. Who plays Mridanga? Mridanga. I have.
I'm going to be Jai 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 Jai
Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, today we're celebrating very holy and very auspicious appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Ram. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. It's a very auspicious day and celebrated throughout the world, practically. Sri Ram is known in many places, not only in India or in ISKCON, but throughout the world. Even in areas such as Sri Lanka, where else? Malaysia, Taiwan, so many places, they also have some simple and basic understanding of Lord Sri Ram. So there's a beautiful verse from the 10th chapter of the 9th canto. The chapter is entitled The Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. This is text number 2. So I'll just read, and then we can do the word for word, and then we'll continue. Tasyapi Bhagavan Esha Shakshad Brahma Mayo Harihi Amsasena Chaturdagat Puttatvam Partita Surai Rama Lakshman Bharata Satrugna Iti Samjagya. Word for word, Tasya. Of him, Maharaj Dasarath, Api, also, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Esha, all of them, Saksat, directly, Brahma Maya, the Supreme Param Brahma, the Absolute Truth, Harihi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Amsa Amsena, by an expansion of a plenary portion, Chaturda, by fourfold expansions, Agat, accepted, Puttatvam, sonhood, Partita, being prayed for, Surai, by the demigods, Rama, Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Lord Lakshmana, Bharat, Lord Bharat, Satrugna, and Lord Satrugna, Iti, thus, Samyagya, by different names, translation purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharat, and Satrugna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the son of Maharaj Dasarath. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers, Lakshmana, Bharat, and Satrugna, are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadi, Ananta Rupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramari Murti Sukalani Amena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms such as Rama, Lakshmana, Bharat, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who, being Vishnu Tattva, are all equally powerful, became the son of Maharaj Dasarath in response to the prayers by the demigods. End of purport. Translation again, please repeat. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the son of Maharaj Dasarath. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swam Tadatikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrichatam Sahaganat Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostite, Tapta Kanchira Gaurangi, Radhe Brindavaneshwari, Vishyavanu Suti Devi, Pranamami, Hari Priye, Panchakalpa Turubhishcha, Kripa Sindhu Bebhacha, Patidhanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, this particular verse is a very nice introduction to the appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Lord Shri Ram. It is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharatam bhutamam dharmasya tadatmaham trijamyaham pranityanayam sadunam vinasanaya chaduskritam Dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna comes, or Krishna in his expansions come, such as Lord Ram, Lord Srinadev, you know, so many Parasaram, so many of the incarnations of the Lord. They come on request of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to perform a particular function. Whenever the world becomes overboard burdened with irreligion, and demoniac personalities become, what we say, all-pervading everywhere, then the Lord will personally descend in His various incarnations in order to re-establish religious principles. That is His job. He does it through the devas, but when the devas cannot do it, then He comes personally. We see that in practically every incarnation. Whenever there's a powerful, powerful demoniac force on the earth, either as a form of a personality or in the form of a whole array of demons, and the demigods are unable to do anything, the Lord comes personally. Because He doesn't allow irreligion to go so far down, and that those who are saintly and those who are godly are overwhelmed by the atmosphere. So the Lord actually personally comes. And he also comes to give pleasure to his devotees. And practically that is the most important part of his appearance. He wants to enliven his devotees and increase their devotion and give them pleasure by his appearance. Because when the Lord appears, the devotees become happy. Because the devotees simply live in order to serve the Lord. And that is their life. So the Lord comes to please his devotees. This is a very important, not important, this is a very, let me say, central point of the whole process of devotional service. As Krishna loves his devotees and the devotees love Krishna. And Krishna will do anything to please his devotees, and the devotees will do whatever Krishna asks, even beyond that, just to give pleasure to the Lord. This is devotional service. We've tried to find that in this world amongst relationships, but there's always some problem. But in with Krishna, it's perfect. As long as devotees keep their strong faith in the Lord and his mercy. So the Lord came in a very interesting, and this is a long story. A long story. How much time do you have? Do you have about 2 weeks? If you have 2 weeks, we can...
You have
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Goes to school.
Oh, go to school. Well, this is school also. Different kind of school. But this. So if you don't have 2 weeks, we can do it in a shorter version. But this is a very wonderful... And this particular pastime is heard by, practically everyone who... It somehow or other worships the Lord in this particular form. It's so wonderful. I'll give a short synopsis just to help us to appreciate the appearance of the Lord. There was a very powerful and very demoniac personality whose name was Ravana. Do you know what the name Ravana means? Do you know what Naravana means? No. It means one who makes everybody cry. Isn't that not out of ecstasy of love? It's not that kind of crying. It's crying out of misery and pain and suffering. So there are persons who actually enjoy, I mean, for devotees, it's really hard to understand this, but for actually the people who enjoy giving pain to others, that's their pleasure. Isn't that horrible? Can't imagine that when you're a devotee, how you can find happiness in someone else's suffering. But this is the nature of demoniac consciousness. We see that. So Ravana was like that. And he was very powerful. He had received benedictions from... I'll tell the whole story in a broader sense this evening. But a little synopsis this morning. And he had received benedictions from Lord Brahma that he practically could not be killed by any form of life except human beings. Why human beings? It's because when he was, after he had performed so many austerities and penances in order to become powerful, Lord Brahma appeared to, just like he had done in the previous incarnation as Hiranyakashipu, appeared again. But this time, when he was asked for benedictions, he said, human beings, they're just so puny. Don't even consider me giving me that benediction. Because there's no human beings that can even, even consider, causing any problems to the Rakshasa race. There is a race of very powerful demoniac personalities called Rakshasas. They have their own planet. Yeah, hell, very hellish. So he was thinking it's an insult. It's like Muhammad Ali fighting with, George Bush. Something like that. It would be an insult. So So he decided not to even take him, but that was his, what we're saying is, you have to go? That's okay. Okay. Thank you for coming this morning. Okay. So while you're in school, think of Ram too. Then your lessons will be more enjoyable. So, he received all these benedictions from Lord Brahma. And so Lord Brahma, after realizing the power and the devastation caused by Ravana, he arranged for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear in this wonderful form. Ramadi Mutishu Kalaniyamain Atishtam. That the Lord has unlimited forms. And Ram is one of them. Ram is an expansion of Lord Shri Krishna, but Ram is no less powerful than Lord Shri Krishna, although he doesn't exhibit the same characteristics and qualities of Krishna. Because each of the incarnations, although they're equally powerful, still the exhibition of power is given in a certain way. Just like there's the powerhouse, and then you see the powerhouse is fully powerful. Then again, the powerhouse, you know, has different light bulbs that give a certain illumination of its complete power. But not all of the light bulbs exhibit that. Or a better example, actually, is the one that Prabhupada uses. If you take a candle, and then you light another candle, and another candle, and another candle like that, the original candle is the source of the other. But still, each has the same candle power. The light is equally powerful. So in the same way, each of the incarnations of Krishna, because Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all incarnations come from him, but they don't exhibit this complete power. But Ram is one, and he exhibits much of the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not totally. So he came, and he came into a dynasty known as, what's the name of that dynasty? The Raghu dynasty, right? Raghu dynasty. Raghupati Raghava Rajaram Patitas Pavana Sitaram. So the Raghu dynasty, which was ruled by a very powerful, a very, what we say, pious and devotional king named Dasarath. Now Dasarath had 350 wives. That's a lot. Nowadays, just to maintain one wife is not easy. Prabhupada said to maintain one wife, you have to work pretty hard, right? Not to speak about 350. But, you know, the people were different in those days. A lot different. And he had three principal wives, Kausalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra. Huh. And these were the wives that mostly were, what we say, favored by Dasarath out of all the 350. And the problem is, he wasn't able to have a son. He actually had one progeny. He had one daughter. Her name was Shanta. Remember Shanta? No? He gave her to Romapad, remember that part of the story? Mm-hmm. He gave her to a king called King Romapad, who was living in the area, because Romapad also didn't have any, you know, progeny. He had one daughter, her name was Shanta. Santa. And, but he wanted a son. He was getting old. He had been ruling the planets for practically 10,000 years. He was living that long, and now it was getting time to the end of his life. And his rule was very powerful. Except for the area where Ravana was, his rule was powerful. Complete. He was one, and very pious, and very, very generous. All the citizens under his rule were happy. They were prosperous. They loved their king, and the king loved them, and they, whatever they needed in order to live, everything was provided nicely. And everyone was happy. That's very rare to find that. And nowadays you don't find that. Because no one has the qualities and characteristics of a king like Dasarath. But unfortunately, by the will of providence, he was not able to have a son. And so he was unhappy. He was unhappy. So it's a long story how that all came about. Should I tell you the story, that part of it? How the children came? You like that part? It's very good. Especially if you're a brahmachari, you'll like this. We have one brahmachari. You'll like it anyway, whether you're a brahmachari or not. So in the kingdom of Romapada, which was some distance away, Shanta was living. Santa, her name was. Now Romapada, his kingdom, because of some problem, was experiencing a tremendous drought. Tremendous drought. And there was no rain. So there was a big concern what to do. Now there was another personality who was recently born. His name was Rishishringa. Have you heard of Rishishringa? Rishishringa, okay. Now Rishishringa was the son of Vibhatika. Now Vibhatika wanted his son to grow up as a very staunch brahmachari. Very staunch brahmachari. So he was living in the jungle and he kept him completely under his care and he never ever went out. He was living in a little hermitage and he was happy. His father took nice care of him, he was doing his puja, he was worshipping nicely, the boy grew up nicely. And his father was very protective to make sure nothing would disturb his son's growth according to his calculation. So, you know, there was this drought in Momopat's kingdom. So he consulted his ministers and they said, there's the only way you can relieve that drought. You have to bring Rishishringa here. He is so powerful that simply by his presence he will be able to overcome the doubt. You have to bring Rishishringa here and marry him to your daughter Santa. Because that Dasarath actually gave his daughter. So he was thinking how to do that. That's a difficult thing because Vibhatika was not about to allow his son to get married at all. Good brahmachari story. So Rishishringa, when he was living in the forest, he never saw a woman. Never. So he didn't know what a woman looked like. Interesting. And so one day, of course, a plot was made to bring Rishishringa because this drought was very devastating. It was destroying all the crops in the area. And it was becoming a real problem. A real problem. I mean, people were really looking for water. It was becoming difficult. So a plot was made to get three, what we say, very beautiful girls from the kingdom. And to dress them up very nicely and very attractively and bring some nice gifts of sweets and so many other things and find Rishishringa and bring him back. But, you know, they were thinking how to do that because Vibhatika, he's not going to let his son be exposed to this. So one day, somehow or other, Vibhatika had to go away on some trip. And he told his son, don't leave here. I'm going away for a little while. Please stay here. And if anyone comes, you just go inside the house. Hide. He didn't want his son. So that was the perfect time. So while he was away, these three girls came. And he was looking at them. And then he was saying, what is this? These are strange looking people. I never saw people like this before. They look different. They look different. So they started to talk to him. And they started to speak so nicely and so sweetly. And they were giving him all kinds of sweets. And they were really nice. And he was thinking, wow, this is really nice. My father didn't tell me about this part of life. So he was thinking, yeah. And then the job of these ladies was to somehow or other attract him away and bring him back to the kingdom. So they said, actually, there's more of us. where we came from. And we're having a big program, big festival, and we want you to come and take part. So somehow or other, because these people were so actually attractive, he couldn't understand why he was attracted to them. It was just like some kind of chemistry was happening. He decided to go, and he left. And somehow or other, he came to the kingdom. And somehow, at the chagrin of his father, he got away. Anyway, the whole story was he married Shanta. He became attracted. And then together, because he was there, he performed sacrifices. He was expert. He performed sacrifices. Then rain started to come back, and Vamapada's kingdom started to flourish. So then it was understood that Rishyasringa was living in the kingdom of Vamapada, and he was performing sacrifices. And now ministers, especially Vasishtha Muni, who was the minister of Dasarath, said that if you want to have a son, it is possible, because Rishyasringa now is living in the kingdom of Vamapada. If you bring him here and perform a sacrifice, he can perform a perfect sacrifice, and by that sacrifice, a son will appear. So that was the arrangement. So they came. I'm leaving out some details, but this is generally the basic story like that. So he came, and he performed this puja. And he had this golden pot, and he was doing some, and he brought some various ingredients, and he did the puja. And from this pot, during the puja, a celestial being came out of the pot. The pot was called Hyasam. Had some very, and in his hand, this personality had some what was called Hyasam, which was more like sweet rice, something like sweet rice. Yeah. Hyasam is different. Milk. Hyasam or Payasam? Payasam. Acha. Payasam. And so that was the, what we say, the results of this perfect sacrifice. So he took that and those ingredients, and that celestial being presented that as the offering. And then the instruction was given, take this and give this to your three principal wives. So Dasarath did, and he divided it in half, and he gave half to Kausalya, and then he took the other half and divided it in half again. And he gave from one quarter to Sumitra, and one quarter to Kaikeyi, like that. And after some time, four illustrious personalities appeared in the dynasty of King Dasarath. Ram and Lakshman were born. No, Ram and Shatrughna were born from Kausalya, right? Only Ram was born from Kausalya, that's right. Only Ram. From Sumitra was Shatrughna and Lakshman, right? And from Kaikeyi was Bharat. So these four personalities were the supreme personality of God. And their incarnations also of the four weapons of the Supreme Lord. The club, the disc, the lotus flower, and the conch. These are also manifested in the form of these four personalities. And then Dasarath was so happy. He was so happy. He was so overjoyed. Not only one son, but four. He got more than he bargained for. A lot more. And so Ram was such an illustrious person. So good, full of all good qualities. Very good character. Completely obedient to his parents. Always worshipped his parents, loved his parents, served his parents, and whenever he would see his parents, he would offer obeisances. This is Vedic culture, that the children actually offer respects by offering obeisances to their parents. Nowadays, they say, hey, Ma, give me some money, you know. That's about it. And then if they give money, they say, thank you, at best. There's no respect anymore, right? No respect, hardly any. Of course, by Krishna conscious culture and society, we're hoping to understand what it means to be a devotee. Number one quality, one of the main qualities of a devotee, he gives respect to everyone. That is the main quality of a devotee. Everyone according to their position. That is Vedic culture. Nowadays we don't find that. So he was an ideal person, all good qualities. And Ram and Lakshman somehow developed love for each other, and they became very close. And Bharat and Shatrughna also, the other two sons, developed real close affection. And they grew up together, and they were the pride of the entire kingdom. Now, at one point, of course, there was a lot of stories in between. At one point, one very powerful sage came to visit the community. His name was Vishwamitra Muni. Now, Vishwamitra Muni had formerly been a Kshatriya. But he, later on, took up Brahma, the role of a Brahma. He learned, not only he learned, he was defeated by Vasishtha Muni. Because Vasishtha was a powerful Brahmin and he was a powerful Kshatriya. And Brahma Tejas is more powerful than Kshatriya Tejas. Brahmas have great power in those days. They could perform sacrifice, and by their sacrifices, they had mystic power. So he was defeated by Vasishtha Muni, and he decided to become a Brahmin. So he became a Brahmana. And then he was living his life in the forest, doing puja and worshipping. So he came to see Dasarath. And when he came, he entered the kingdom. And Vasishtha Muni was also there, and others. They glorified Vishwamitra Muni for all his prowess. They sang his glories throughout the kingdom. And then after he was nicely welcomed, he came and he spoke with Dasarath. And Dasarath said, in so many words, how is your puja going? How is your when you meet a brahmana, you ask him, how is his worship going? How is your devotional life going? When you meet a kshatriya, you ask him, how's things in your rule? How's the organization? When you meet a vaishya, you say, how much money are you making? And when you meet a sudra, you ask him, how's his health? How's your health? So like that. So he asked him, how's your puja going? And he basically said, well, actually we're having trouble. There's these two very powerful demons named Subahu and Maricha. And we're doing our puja in the forest with all the sages. And just at the height of the puja and the sacrifices, they come and they file and they desecrate and destroy the whole sacrifice. And therefore, they ruin everything. And sometimes they kill the sages and harass the sages and do all kinds of horrible things. I could kill them by myself, but I'm a Brahmin. So now I have given up that occupation of killing. I have taken up Brahminical life. But I have come to you for some help. Dasarath said, lead me, I will go. He said, no, actually I want your son, Ram. He is qualified, he is very powerful. Actually, Vishwamitra Muni knew who Ram was, although Dasarath didn't know. He didn't know his son was the Supreme Personality of God. He was thinking, he's my son. I have to take care of him. I have to make sure he's protected, he's healthy, he's happy. And so, when he heard that, he said, only Ram and no one else can somehow or other push back these two demons, they're so powerful. And Dasarath said, he's only 16 years old. He's still a young boy yet. Let him grow up. He doesn't have the qualities to do this type of activity. I will go. I will bring all my armies. Who are these two demons? Who is behind them? And then Vishwamitamuni said, Ravana. They are disciples of Ravana, followers of Ravana. Oh, Ravana. And then he got a little nervous. Ravana, because Ravana was all powerful. Even Dasarath was in fear of Ravana. So, finally, Vasishtha Muni came and said, don't worry, Dasarath. Ram's okay. He can go. And somehow he convinced him to go. So they left. And they left with Vishwamitra Muni. And they came into the forest and they were there. And then the sages had begun another sacrifice. And they were doing their puja, they were doing their homas, chanting various mantras. And then at one point, right in the middle, at the height of the sacrifice, these two demons came. Again, just demons. Demon means one who likes to disturb others for no reason. Right? They just like to cause pain to others. You know, if they can do something to disturb you, or even to harass you, or even to harm you, they feel happy. This is a demon. But these people were like registered demons. They were like, you know, they had their own cards that I'm a big demon. They were the topmost demons.
Huh? They had a high rank.
Very high rank, yeah. Very high rank. They were up there. They knew their job too. So they came and they started to throw dead bodies and pour blood and all kinds of abominable substances and just harass the whole sacrifice. And then they start chasing and killing the sages. So then at one point, Vishwamitra looked at Ram and said, now we need your help. So Ram, he fired an arrow, shot Subhadra in the chest, and hit him, shot him and killed him immediately. And he took another arrow and hit Maricha. And that arrow knocked him 800 miles into the ocean. Didn't kill him, but he went flying 800 miles. Gave him a little mercy. And so, never before had they encountered such, you know, resistance amongst the sages. So, of course, Vishwamitra Muni was happy. Subhadra was dead. Maricha retired after that. He took up the life of a mendicant demon. No more demon. And after that, in fact, he was so fearful of Ram that anybody who spoke a word that started with R. he would get so, you know, upset. He would just get nervous because he had never come in contact with anyone so powerful as Ram. Ram didn't kill him, but he gave him a good lesson. And he was out of commission for a long time. And then after that, he just retired. He's living in a forest in his own little corner. So this was so wonderful. Vishwamitra Muni was happy. The sages were feeling again protected, and the sacrifices went on. Vishwamitra took Ram on different places throughout the kingdom. Took him to so many places. Finally, they came to one place called Mithila, and there was a very powerful king whose name was Janak. And Janak had a very beautiful, actually he had four daughters, but his very prized daughter, her name was Sita. Sita was found in the most amazing way. She appeared, not as an ordinary person appears, but one day Janak was plowing the field. He was doing the plowing himself, and his plow hit this box. And when he stopped, he looked down to see, and he opened the box, and in the box was a beautiful, little, tiny girl, baby girl. And he was just overwhelmed. She was effulgent, even though she was a little, tiny baby. And he took her home, and he took very good care of her. And as she was growing up, he could see she had all good qualities. So he wanted to marry her to only the best. And he made a program. Now, Janak had a particular bow. that was given to him by the demigods. Now this bow was the bow of Lord Shiva. When Shiva was fighting against the Asuras, he used this particular bow. And at the end, that bow was given to the demigods, and the demigods gave it as a gift to Janak. And that bow was such a powerful bow that anyone in the program was anybody that could string that bow could have the hand of Sita. And kings came from all over. Now that bow was so heavy that no one could pick it up. Now one day, this is an interesting thing, one day when Sita was in the room with the bow, she was the only one, she was cleaning the room, she was still dusting. And somehow or other, Janak came in and he was watching her. She was dusting and she picked up the bow, dusted underneath and put it down again. When he saw that, only any, you know, not even the best of the ordinary, but someone beyond ordinary will be the wife, husband of my daughter Sita. He was amazed because no one could even pick up the bow. They had 300 men pulling the bow on wheels to move it. That was Shiva's bow. It was so powerful. So, and he made a program that anyone who could not only pick it up but string it would have the hand of Sita. And kings came from everywhere. And some of them couldn't even budge it. They couldn't even lift it up. And you know who also came? Ravana came. And Ravana couldn't even do it. And he was really upset. He tried with all his 20 arms. He couldn't pick it up. 10 heads and 20 arms. Because you get 2 arms for every head. And he was mad. And many of the kings, out of anger, they attacked Janaka. You've given this, embarrassed us. So they attacked him. And he defeated all these kings. He was a very powerful personality. Very powerful. And so, Vishwamitra Muni said to Ram, let us go to the kingdom of Mithila. I think you're about marriageable age. There's a very, very beautiful young girl. Her name is Sita. Simply by hearing the name Sita, Ram became very delighted. So he came. And they came, and when they walked into the assembly, they were all welcomed very nicely. And then Vishwamitra Muni introduced Ram to Janak. He is here to string the bow. And when Janak saw Ram, he immediately said, this person should become the husband of Sita. And Sita, she also, from a distance, she was hiding in the back, she saw. And then, when somehow or other she came out, and when Sita saw Ram, and Ram saw Sita, their natural love for each other awoke. Because Sita is the goddess of fortune. And she never leaves the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. But in this particular pastime, apparently they were separate. So, and then Sita was rooting for Ram. Come on, Ram, pick up that bow, string it. So, it was silence. Everyone in the kingdom was watching. And the palace was full of very important personalities. And Ram came, he just looked at the bow. And with his left hand, Ram is right handed, with his left hand, he picked it up just like that. Everyone, amazing. Because no one could even move that bow. Just picked it up. And then he just turned it, and with his other hand, he strung it, and he pulled it back, 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 and he pulled it. And he pulled it so far back, the bow cracked. And the sound was so tumultuous that everyone in the palace fell unconscious. Except Janak, Sita, Vishwamitra, and Ram and Lakshman. Everyone lost consciousness. And the sound pervaded the entire universe. Everyone thought it was the end of the universe. So powerful. And that bow broke and it landed in three different places. Today there's places, you could go to that place in Mitsula. There's a well, there's a lake, and there's a stone. Two different places where the bowl, one third of the bowl broke in three pieces. These two places were where the bowl landed. You can go there and still see it. It's still there. The bow's not there. But the places where the bow fell, those are considered worshipable holy places. There. So Janak was overjoyed. Sita was, her heart was just filled with so much love. And the marriage was arranged. But before they made the arrangement, they decided to call, before the marriage came, they decided to call Dasarath to come. You have to go also. That's okay. Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. And so, Dasarath came. He came. And he was overjoyed. Ram's getting married with Sita. Janaka and Dasarath were good friends. But it was a long distance. And Dasarath made all arrangements to come. And he brought his ministers, and he brought his whole crew of men, and they constructed a road all the way from Ayodhya to Mithila. And on that road, they built all kinds of guest houses and all kinds of places to welcome the royal party, or to receive all the guests, so that they were stopping on the way as they were traveling. So it was a royal procession with so many nice arrangements. And not only did Dasarath come, but the queens came, and also the other sons, Bart and Suchrudna, also came. And then there was a grand marriage. That marriage was a grand marriage on the level of the kind of marriages you see in Vaikuntha, with all opulences and all glory. And the four brothers got married to the four daughters of Janaka. So then Sita and Ram went back, and of course it's the custom and the culture that the girl goes to live with the parents of the son, and she returned there. So everyone was so happy. Everyone in the kingdom was even, everyone was happy. Now the two kings had become closer together through marriage, and their kingdoms even became more powerful. Because Janaka was a powerful king. All his ancestors had defeated the demons. All his ancestors. He was also, not on the power of Dasarath, but also very powerful. But then, Dasarath was thinking, soon I will be leaving the world. I'm getting old. So I will make all arrangements for Ram to be the next king. So he announced one day, called all the citizens, he made the royal announcement, soon I will be leaving you as your king. And then he spoke so much wonderful, heartfelt appreciations for the citizens, and they exchanged so well. It was a grand ceremony. And at the end he announced that Ram will be my successor. And when everyone heard, everyone loved Ram. Because Ram loved everyone. This is important to understand in today's society. You see, the relationship between the ruling head and the government and people in general is so distant. And not only is it distant, nobody likes them. Right? They're cheating, they're lying, they're stealing, they're doing everything, and you have to accept them as your leader. Right? This is Kali Yuga. Dacoits, rogues, thieves, and all low-class men have become rulers of today's world. And then Prabhupada says, and you wonder why no one's happy. Why? Because they're being exploited by, because a leader is supposed to have the qualities of a leader. What are the qualities of a leader? What is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? One of the qualities. Who knows that verse? 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Qualities of a leader. Kapalayanam. Translation? Generosity. These are the qualities of Yasatra, ruling class. So this actually makes what we say that the type of rule that the citizen needs is these are requirements in order for the citizens to develop faith, because the relationship between the leader and the citizens is like a relationship between the father and the son, the children. Yeah. They agree to abide by the rules of the government, and the government provides whatever they need to live. Not only material needs, but also the opportunity to worship nicely. So where do you see that today? Now, I was just reading. I don't read at all the newspaper. Once in a while, somebody gives me some information. George Bush's popularity has dropped to a new low. Lower than any president they can remember, right? Something like 30%. And nobody likes the guy, right? And he's not qualified to lead. And how did he get in there? He cheated. He wasn't supposed to be in anyway. They rigged the election back in the year 2000. It was all cheating. So, and then you wonder why everyone's not happy. And so, but Ram, when they heard Ram was going to be there, everyone was so happy. But then there was one problem. And life is always full of problems, no matter who you are. Sometimes you think, why do I have problems? That's because you're in the material world. You know that? It's not because it's you. Because as long as you're in the material world, there's problems. Of course, if you're a devotee and practicing devotional service, then you have the means to solve the problems. You have the way to solve them. But still, there's problems, even if you're a devotee. The materialists don't know how to solve the problems, and therefore, in trying to solve their problems, what do? They create more problems. Yeah. They create more problems. Even Prahlad Maharaj says that. And material problems to material solutions to material problems are more problematic than the problems, because they just compound the problem and make another problem, right? Prabhupada said, the transportation problem. Oh. So they've solved that. But look, pollution, right? So many, so much money, so much energy, time, destruction of the earth, just to travel, right? We've solved the transportation problem, right? We can go, right? I'm here, I came by jet. But, how much does it cost? How much fuel, oil, time, energy, arrangements, just to get from one place to another. So is it worth it? You'll see in the long run it's not. People are any happier because they can travel around the world? I don't think so. Happiness doesn't depend on, how many... And years ago, people would also travel long distance. It took them a little longer. But still, there wasn't so many problems. So anyway, this is one example, but there are many, how when you try to solve a material problem, and you simply compound it unless the problem is based on spiritual principles, religious principles. And so, there was one of the maidservants of Kaikeyi. Now Kaikeyi was the mother of Bharat. She was one of the principal wives of Dasara. And she was the youngest of the three main wives. And she was very much favored by Dasara. He would see Kaikeyi every day. He really had a lot of affection for Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi loved Ram just as much as she loved Bharat. But she had a maidservant, her name was Mantara. Now Mantara was a hunchback lady who was not very happy. And when she heard that Ram was going to be, you know, crowned as the ruling prince. Ruling prince. She became envious because Ram was the son of Kausalya, and she was thinking, my master Kaikeyi, her son Bart should get it, because what happens if Kausalya's son Ram gets it? Then I'll be pushed out. I won't get any benefits like I'm getting now. I'll be in a lesser position. So she became envious. She became afflicted with the element of envy. As soon as envy enters into a person's consciousness, everything becomes polluted. Envy is a very terrible disease. It's the reason why the conditioned soul suffers so much, is envy. Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that there are six anarthas that plague the living being. Kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. These are the six, what we call them. We call them unwanted qualities, or six demons that are plaguing the living entity. And out of the six, envy is the worst. Because in envy, all the other five are included. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in anger, lust is there. In greed, lust and anger is there. In illusion, lust, anger, and greed is there. In pride, lust, anger, illusion, and greed is there. And in envy, they're all there. Envy is the worst. What is envy? Envy is not being satisfied. We should learn to become satisfied. Whatever Krishna gives you, be happy. And simply try to serve Krishna from that perspective. Because whatever Krishna puts you, whatever situation you're in, it's the best. And if you look around and see that, then you can make so much advancement from that position. As soon as you think, I need this, I want that, why does that person have that and I don't have that? And your mind is just cannot appreciate what you've been given. You can't. You can't take advantage of the benefits of what the Lord has actually given you. And you're looking outside for something. Right? And it's just a disease that we've accumulated because we associate with the material energy. And when we associate with the material energy, we're not satisfied. And we think our satisfaction comes by having something somebody else has. But really, it doesn't, because what they have, they're not satisfied either. So we have to see, then this is the problem. Especially if you're somebody's a great, software, analyst and expert, and you are of the same occupation. So you think, maybe I should be better than him. Like that. So there's always competition. And sometimes even animosity between people who have the same type of activities in life. Because they always think, I want to be like them, or I want to be better than them. Or if I pull them down, then I can go up. But that's material. We actually go up by pushing others up. When you push out and you serve the devotees and somehow or other appreciate the devotees and feel happy when the devotees get the mercy of the Lord, that's Krishna conscious. Then we're satisfied. We don't look all. And then you can see how much you've really been given by the mercy of the Lord. And you can become grateful. A devotee's grateful. A devotee's always grateful. No matter what happens, we're grateful. Why? Because we've obtained the opportunity for devotional service. Therefore, that is our principle of gratitude. We've been given that mercy. Have an opportunity to develop our love for Krishna. We have an opportunity to get out of this material world. Therefore, we've been given something very wonderful. And that's been given. It's not that we've earned it. It's been given by the mercy of those pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada and his predecessors. So, anyway, this Mantara, she was so envious. So she came up to Kaikeyi and said, Kaikeyi, Ram's going to become the king. KK said, yes, isn't that wonderful?
She said, "Don't you understand what will happen?
As soon as Ram becomes, then you will be in a lesser position, because Ram is the son of Kausalya. Kausalya will get all the attention of Dasarath. And then, and Ram, what will he do? When he becomes king, then he will push your brother out, your son out, Bharat. In fact, he may even put him in jail, because Bharat, he knows, Ram knows that Bharat is more qualified than he is. And therefore, when he, in order to protect his rule, he will harass and persecute your son." She said, you're nonsense. I'm speaking like this, Mantara. Where did you get this from?" He said, "You don't understand. I understand. I can see. This is what will happen. My words." And then gradually she kept speaking like this in various ways, very convincingly. And Kaikeyi started to think, maybe Mantara is right. And then she became a little bit concerned. And she looked at Mantara, "What should I do? Ah, don't you remember? Dasarath has given you two boons. Remember when you saved his life on the battlefield? He gave you two boons. Now's the time to take it." She didn't take it at that time. Dasarath was in the fight and he was wounded, and she was there, and she nursed him back to health. And he was so happy, he said, "I give you two benedictions. Whatever you want, just ask." She said, "I'll take them some other time." She said, Mantara said, "Now's the time to take that those." She said, "What should I say? That establish Bharat on the throne as king and banned Ram to the forest." She thought, establishing Bharat is good, but why ban Ram? Mantara said, if Bharat becomes king, then if Ram is here, he will do everything to tear him down. And he has a lot of support. So many evil, malicious, and all kinds of lies she was just pouring into her mind. Somehow the Kaikeyi became affected by that. So this went on. And then Kaikeyi's mood changed. She became somewhat cold. And then Dasarath would come and see her every evening. So one time he came into her chambers and she wasn't there. He was asking, "Where's Kaikeyi?" "Oh, she's in the sulking room. There's a room if you want to lament, you go in there and lament. It's called the sulking room." "Why is she in there? You should go ask her." Came in and saw her. She had taken off all her gorgeous jewelry. She was wearing simple cloth. Dasar said, "What is wrong? Why are you sulking? Tomorrow Ram will become king. You should be happy. Everyone, the whole Ayodhya is joyous. They're anticipating this great thing." She said, "Don't you understand?" And she explained exactly what Mantara had said to her. And he said, "This is ridiculous. Everyone loves Ram. Ram loves Bharat too." Bharat had been away at the time. But Bharat wasn't in the kingdom when this was happening. He was away. He had gone to one place. I forgot where it was. But he was away on a mission. So he didn't know what was happening. And this went on. He said, "Yeah, this is ridiculous." And she started to cry, lament, so many different ways. And she said, "You remember? You gave me two benedictions. Now I want them." He said, "What do you want?" And she told him, "Establish Bharat on the throne, ban Ram to the forest." He said, "This is nonsense. What are you talking about? Where did you get this from? This has nothing to do with anything of reality." And she was so persuasive and so convincing. And she said that you are a Kshatriya, you have given your word, now you're going back on your word. I'm asking for these benedictions. Please come in. I'm asking for these benedictions. You promised me that anytime I want these benedictions, you will give them to me. So now I want them. You're a Kshatriya. A Kshatriya, when he gives his word, he's better to give up his life than break his word. She challenged him in so many ways. So many ways. So he was overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. And he was just lamenting. And then finally the whole thing played out. And then it got back to Ram. And Ram said, okay, I'll go to the forest. He said, Father, if that's what you want me to do. But he didn't really want him to do, but he had no choice. He was trapped. He had given this promise. But at the same time, you know, Kaikeyi was making such a big thing out of this. Finally, Ram said, I will go. And then Lakshman, he heard it and he said, I'll go with you. And then Sita said, I'll go with you too. Because I'm your wife, and wherever a husband goes, the wife must go, no matter what. This is, nowadays you don't see that. Right? Anyway, that's another story. And this went on, and then finally, when Sita said she will go, Ram says, you can't come to the forest. The forest is cold. The forest is dangerous. It's full of rakshasas. At night it's so cold, during the day it's so hot. What will you eat? You're accustomed to royalty. Fine clothes, nice bedsteads, so much opulences, so many fine foods. None of that's in the forest. You have to lay on the hard ground. And then there's all there is to eat is fruits and roots and berries. Nothing. She said that Ayodhya without you is like the forest. And the forest with you is like Ayodhya. She said that. That was her love for Ram. She said, I will come to the forest. I cannot leave you. That is my duty. So Ram said, okay. And they were all ready to go. And then Kaikeyi came along with some of her servants and said, here, you have to wear this. So Bart and Ram put on this tree bark. She came with some tree bark. And Ram and Lakshman dressed in tree bark, gave up their royal garments. And Sita was trying to put on the tree bark, but she couldn't figure out how to do it. It was kind of awkward. She wasn't used to putting on tree bark. Finally, she got it on. And they left for the forest. When after that happened, Dasara was completely devastated. His mind was so destroyed. He couldn't even think. He was just chastising Kaikeya, and he was lamenting. And the citizens, the next day, they were wondering, what happened? Where's the coronation? Ram is supposed to be there. And then when they found out, well, they were all well. They all started becoming angry at Kaikeyi when they heard what had happened. And then after some time, after Ram had left, Dasarath, in separation from Ram and overwhelmed, he actually left his body. He died. He lost his life. Now this was also an interesting story because many, many years ago he was in the jungle. He was hunting. He was a hunter. And he heard a sound which he thought was a wild animal. And so he was so expert by shooting the bow according to where the sound was. And he fired an arrow. And he hit this young boy. And the boy just screamed out. And then Dasarath came and he realized he had made a mistake. It was a young boy. And the boy was, he was the servant of his parents. And the boy didn't die. But he was in great pain and he was about to die. And he said, you have killed me, and I don't mind losing my life, but my mother and father, who are blind and invalid, they depend on me for their maintenance, and now they will also die. So I curse you. And in the future, you will also lose your son, and you will also die because of that. So he received that curse. So the curse came back. And then you can ask under one, why did that curse? Why did that happen? Dasaran was a powerful king. He was a devotee. But still, he had performed that activity. And therefore, there was some reaction. Somehow or other, we see that even though we're devotees, we are not free from, you know, the reactions of our activities in the sense that we're responsible. In this case, it was a very severe mistake or offense on his part. And therefore, he had to also undergo some type of suffering. So, after this all happened and Ram had left the forest, Bart came back. And Bart's mother, Kaikeyi, she greeted him, "Son, son, you're so back." The mother, oh, she was so happy to see him. And then he said, "I'm coming into the kingdom, but I'm seeing it's not the same. Everyone looks so sad. What, something has happened? Some calamity has happened? What's happening?" She said, "No, everything is fine, actually. But your father died." "Oh, really? Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you tell me?" "I didn't want to disturb you. But I have good news for you. You're going to become king." "What do you mean I'm going to become king? Ram was scheduled to be coronated with him." She said, "No, actually, your son, I asked your father for these boons that he had promised me, and I made two things, that you become king and Ram goes to the forest." When he heard that, he became so upset. He said, "What have you done, mother? You have just practically killed me. Ram is more dear to me than my life. Everyone loves Ram. Why have you done this? I don't have any aspiration to become king. I don't want to become king. I want to become servant of Ram." And then he realized it was all the poison of Mantara. So he grabbed Mantara and started beating her. She was screaming, "Ah!" You know, she was old. Somehow or other, he stopped at one point. He said, "It goes to this wicked personality, Mantara." Anyway, this was all part of a bigger plan. It was all part of a bigger plan to bring about the destruction of the dynasty of Ravana. So, it's about 9:50. Should I continue speaking stories? Do you have time? Or should we stop here? Stop? Okay. Tonight we can continue. We'll tell some different ones tonight. But basically, it's a beautiful story. And I would suggest and encourage everyone, if you have some time today, you know, outside of whatever responsibilities you have, take some time and read. Read the pastimes. It's always so wonderful. Each time you read it, it's like reading it for the first time. Transcendental stories in relationship to the Supreme Lord are on the absolute platform. The pastimes and the Lord Himself are none different. When you read these pastimes, you actually associate with Krishna, with Ram, directly. These pastimes are so, especially this particular pastime. Everyone loves this story. Hanuman. Hanuman, we know all about Hanuman. We'll speak about Hanuman tonight. There's so many wonderful stories about Hanuman. Hanuman, he listens to this story over and over again. He can't get enough of it. He hears it every day, all day. That's all he does is listen to the story, pastimes of Ram and Lakshman. In fact, he loves Ram. So I'll tell you one story about Hanuman, just a quick one. This is a nice story. Show you how much he's attached to Ram. One day, Krishna was in Dwarka, and he was surrounded by his servants, and Garuda was there. And Krishna said to Garuda, "Garuda, go to Ayodhya and tell Hanuman that Krishna's in Dwarka and he wants to see him." So Garuda flew to Ayodhya. And he was there, and he came. Hanuman was doing his puja to Ram. And he said, Hanuman, Krishna, he's there in Dwarka, and he wants to see you. Come, you can actually jump on my back. I'll give you a ride. Hanuman can fly too, but he offered him a ride anyway. So Hanuman didn't pay any attention to him. He just kept doing his puja. Didn't even look at him. And then Garuda said, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he's in Dwarka and he's requesting your presence. Please come, he wants to see you. He wants to associate with you. He wants to just show his mercy to you in different ways. Hanuman didn't even look at him. And then Garuda was a little persistent. So what Hanuman became disturbed. And he took his tail, which is really big, big tail. And he just whoosh, he hit Garuda with it. And Garuda went flying and he landed back in Dwarka. So he was lying there. And he looked at Krishna. Would you give me this assignment for you? Give me something easier. So Krishna said, all right, you can go back again and tell him Ram is in Dwarka and he wants you and wants him to come. So Krishna took the form of Ram and he said to Satyabhama, Satyabhama, you become Sita. She said, no. She refused. You know Satyabhama, she's always fighting with Krishna somewhere. So he decided not to argue with her. So he said, Rukmini, you do it. So she took the role of Sita. And what was it? Balaram took the role of Lakshman. So they were there in that form. Then Garuda came back, a little hesitant this time. But he said, but he was still very much bound by duty. He said, Hanuman, Ram is in Dwarka. Where did Hanuman go? Before he could finish, Hanuman was gone. He was on his way to Dwarka. Just to see Ram. So that was a lot. And when he got there, the Lord was in that form of Sita, Ram, and Lakshman. And when he saw that, he just was overwhelmed with such love. And the Lord gave him that special mercy because Ram had left the planet, you know, a long time back. So the Lord appeared again in that form just to please his devotee. And it was a very wonderful, very wonderful reunion between them. So that's a nice, that shows you how much Hanuman, he loves the Supreme Lord as Ram. So he's just attached to Ram. Another one here, another Hanuman story, I'll give you another one. One time, Hanuman was with Sita. And Sita had this kumkum. She put this red kumkum on. So he said to her, why do you wear that? He said, because Ram likes it. So he thought, oh, really? Ram likes that little red dot. So he got a whole bunch of kumkum and put it all over him. Became a red monkey. Because he's a white monkey. Put red all over him. And he was walking around. Then what happened to Hanuman? And Hanuman explained to him, well, Ram likes it, so I want whatever Ram likes. That's my goal in life, is to please Ram. Ram likes this red powder. So that was Hanuman. Hanuman's very, very, very devoted. He can only think of Ram. That's all. He thinks of Sitaram. Sitaram, Sitaram, Sitaram. Okay, I better let you go. All right, thank you very much. Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman ji ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna. Thank you.